This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Hey there. Hey, you. Sir, how
what?
Are you? How are you doing?
Hello?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Who's this?
It's Peter. I want to know how you're doing tonight.
What's up, homies?
Thank you. And good evening to you as well, sir.
This is Gil.
Hey, Gil. How's your night going?
Please don't hang up.
All right.
Please listen.
I'm going to give you the floor. Go ahead. What else you got?
Hi. Who am I speaking to, please?
We'll start off on this beautiful ENN, which is sponsored by our friends at All-American Ford Auto Group. You can go shop the largest and best Ford groups in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. Of course, they have locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. You knew that. If you're trying to get a Ford, a beautiful new Explorer, perhaps, which looks tremendous, head over to my friends at All American Ford right away. Good evening, Michael.
Don, you're going to ruin the Michael K. show.
What were you recording, on a walkie-talkie?
My iPhone.
It sounds so much better than that. Were you covering the mic?
It's the iPhone 1.
You know what? Don't worry about it.
Play it again.
Don, you're going to ruin the Michael K. show.
Watch this. Don, you're going to ruin the Michael K. show.
Do you want to know what this show is without Michael? It's called The Show.
Listen. Well, bad example because it didn't play.
Yeah, mine played. Want to hear mine again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Don, you're going to ruin the Michael K. show.
All right, well, cute kid.
His was better than mine. We'll also say good evening to Don.
They have the same damn record the Giants do.
Not anymore. Did you do Ecstasy? I was going to play that, but we kind of rang it out a little bit.
We have the same one.
Hostile Rage, Torment, Blood Feast.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
Lots been going on.
A lot.
Over the last week or two. All right, guys. First of all, very, very big win for the Baltimore Ravens. They're the best team in the AFC now that they've beaten the Pats and the Pats lost to the Texans. They're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They beat the 49ers in a pelting rain in Baltimore. By the way, if you're wondering and curious, it was pouring rain from the second I left Chevy Chase, Maryland, to the second I pulled into the Upper West Side.
You're kidding.
How long? Never stopped pouring.
How long?
Five hours. An extra 90 minutes of Thanksgiving Day traffic. It was repugnant. I drove by the stadium in Baltimore, waved a little bit. But they played through it. No rain delay.
Did you put there's no rain delays in football.
No, I know.
There's lightning delays.
But it was the Yankee music.
Did you play the Yankee music the whole ride?
That's how I felt. It was the only thing I could listen to.
By the way, today's the first Hot Stove show on Yes.
Really?
Right after our show.
You know what? I don't know.
Sit-down interview with Hal Steinbrenner with Meredith Marakovitz.
Wow, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
long night for Meredith. But I also just received information. I don't know if you know about this.
Why?
Mets really interested in Josh Hader? Could that be happening?
Don't be a hater.
Don't be a hater.
I hate Don.
That's a game-changing situation.
Well, they are going to have to clear salary because they're right up against what they're going to spend.
Don, would you be excited about Hader if they could make it happen?
No.
Well, because the last one didn't work out?
Well, it's not that. It's just that he's not a guy that you root for, right?
No.
I mean,
I was people in Milwaukee got over it.
Yeah,
What do I have to?
I was trying to get past it.
I guess everybody.
Do I have to? I think that sums it up.
I appreciate you for not, but it was a long. Wasn't he like in high school?
I don't know. I just
the old tweets thing. Come back.
We all have to resolve certain issues when it comes to sports, right? Guys that you don't like, and then they become part of your team. Hey, Yankee fans had to go through it. They hated Clemens, and then you find yourself rooting for him. But whatever. We'll make it work.
Defeated.
We'll make it work, I guess.
They also tendered 8 players, arbitration.
You know, and I also want to go back and apologize. RJ, emotional music, please. A few moments ago, you brought up Meredith interviewing Hal Steinbrenner.
Right.
And I said, long night for Meredith.
Yeah, what exactly did you mean?
What I'd like to say here, and this is going to be awkward, but I'm going to push my way through it. I sometimes confuse Hal, and Brian for interviews that we have.
So you're gonna insult Brian?
Brian,
take the insult away from
Brian.
Hal
is not a boring interview. Brian is. So it's not going to be a long night for her. I think it's going to flow very quickly.
First of all, Brian's not a boring interview.
He is. But
no,
he's not. He's doing his job, though. He's supposed to be a boring interview.
No, he's
not. He doesn't give a lot of information. Well, he did take the one. He did give us one gem this year.
He's not boring. He just is. His answers are long.
I believe.
And you also, the fact that you hate baseball, so anybody talks baseball, you hear Charlie Brown's teacher.
That's not
I
true.
Love baseball.
That's not always true. I believe Brian.
I was shocked that I even shot him a look.
You did. You shot me a look.
I took a shot at Hal Steimer. I couldn't believe it.
I was a little surprised you didn't comment.
I know. And then you
I thought maybe it would go. Maybe people would notice what an asinine comment it was.
Well, no, but
Hal Steimer's a good interview.
I know, but that's why I'm glad I thought about it. I was like, that's not Hal. I like Hal's interview.
Yeah, but still, even if it was a long form interview with Brian Cashman, you would have said it in your mind. You'd be accurate, but you still wouldn't be right to do.
Why? Well, hold on. In the case, I believe Brian Cashman actually has like a voice trick he does, where he makes his voice sound a certain way on the phone that nods you away from focusing on what he's saying.
No, because he's talking about something you're not interested. I'm riveted every time he talks.
Don, you don't find his voice...
Riveted is strong, Michael. We don't have to go that far to defend him. But I think you're both right in the sense that he does have a way of giving information without really saying what
he
also necessarily want to hear.
He and Lamoriello... And I guess
Wait a second.
And Sean Marks.
But you're going the wrong way.
Those are the three competent GMs in this town. And Brian Cashman gives us the time of day whenever we want him on the air. And then you're going to take a shot at him? I should ask you to walk out of the studio so I can beat the living.
You bring up Lou. I love Lou. Lou signed the kids the Twins Journal, which I think is fabulous. But he's the same way. He does an interview, but he doesn't necessarily tell you everything. I think that's the gift of a good general manager. The general managers that yammer, those are the guys that get fired in 2 years.
Here's Brian's trick that he does with his voice. Listen close. His voice has a quality to it that's meant to distract you.
I know the easy thing right now is to focus on some of the big names, and I promise you
hear that rasp in it?
Vocal fry, it's called.
Touching on some mid-level.
Mm-hmm. There's a word for that?
Yeah.
I would like just a message to the people out there that like to think that we're Yankee shills because we're on Yes. This segment would, I think, show that that's not the case.
This segment also will get people thrown off the show.
Well, we might be a little light.
No,
tomorrow.
No, no. That's why I specifically.
No. Not for ESPN, but, you know, maybe the next Yes simulcast has a blue dot on
it. Yeah, are you a fan of a blue dot?
Hold on, real quick. I want to reiterate again. I was wrong when I said
Hal. So you think it's okay to take a shot at Brian?
Much more so than Hal. Well, Brian works for the team. Hal is the team. Those are two different things. Correct or incorrect?
Brian runs the baseball aspect of the team.
The baseball aspect.
Well, what are the Yankees?
But Hal Steinbrenner, the Steinbrenner is the Yankee logo. That's different.
I think Hal may care what's on Yes. I don't think Brian cares.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't affect Brian. Brian doesn't care about
Yes
me one way or the other.
Hal is somebody you have to smooth it over.
And by the way, unfortunately, it's true because Hal actually is one that I go, wow, Hal's a surprisingly good interview. I didn't think he'd say that much.
Wow.
Should I just walk off here?
Hamstrings.
Why don't you leave?
My hamstrings are
look,
sore.
Look what Yes has done, Don. The screen.
No. It can be done.
And you know what? They're right.
It can be done.
And I was going to try to weasel himself back in, but he can't.
Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
I got to tell you, Don.
Do not be surprised.
I hate to say this. What a jerk he is. What a complete jerk.
You know what? You're making yourself actually the bad guy. Because we call anybody out if we don't think they're a great interview.
But I don't think that's worth calling out. He's not a bad interview. He doesn't interest you.
No, he's a GM. He talks around things without giving you information.
First DiPietro, now Cashman. I mean,
Don, I know you're with me. GMs don't give you information.
He's going to rip into Jimmy Pitaro next.
You know, I'll tell you about James Pitaro.
There is some distance between accurate and right.
It's not offensive, is it?
It's taken me 17 years to teach Don the right way. He finally got it.
Well, I still have 13 years.
No, I don't think you do.
No, not anymore.
And I'm Blue Dot Rosenberg. Well, bad news.
Yeah, we just had it.
Well, you know, we've calmed down and stopped drawing attention to it. You're the worst. Are you gonna call on the way home?
I might.
Or send a text? By the way...
You'll get a quick call from Flip.
You stop threatening me.
I'm not threatening you.
Yes,
I'm
you
warning
are.
You.
Oh, I'm not accepting the call. Well, unless it's about something else different altogether, I'll take the call from Flip anytime.
You know that different thing? You can kiss that baby goodbye.
You know how you're making yourself sound, though?
How?
You're actually making yourself look bad, not me.
No.
Don?
No.
You know what I'm saying, Don?
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, Hausheimer's a great interview.
He's choosing.
That's what I said.
Right, but you didn't say it first. And then you doubled down and you took a shot at Brian Cashman.
Well, because it was
probably the most powerful GM in baseball.
I mean, at this point, you might just come in with a wrestling t-shirt tomorrow.
And give up altogether.
Right, just give up.
Take a shot. Go ahead. The floor is yours. Hammer Aaron Boone.
You know, and Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone, for a second.
You know what? I don't know.
Well, so what does this mean? That I'm not going to get signed to a Yankees deal?
No.
Please, go on.
We've talked about the Ravens and the fact they are now the best team in the AFC thanks to the Patriots' loss last night. Well, Mike Tannenbaum weighed in on the Patriots' offense and some concerns, but he believes they'll have a good end of the season.
This time of year, NFL teams are saying, how can we get better? How can we position ourselves for the stretch run? And the New England Patriots very quietly have done an excellent job with that. They have three players, Mohamed Sanu. They've also added Benjamin Watson, who's been on and off their roster. And they've activated their first-round pick, N'Keal Harry, off of injured reserve. The combination of those three players, I believe, will help them over the last month of the season.
We'll see. Don, you were saying earlier, who was it who jumped in and said that? RJ, I believe. We were all talking about how bad the Patriots are, and it kind of does seem like a cruel joke how many times we've said, it's finally over for the Patriots. And you said, Don, you do think this feels a bit different.
But this offense has never been this anemic, okay? And now it looks like they're going to have to go on the road. Now, they've gone on the road before and won, so it's not impossible, but that was a bunch of years ago. This is now a team that is going to have to do it with defense alone. I don't know if you can count on this team scoring a bunch of points. And when you look at the path to the Super Bowl having to go through Baltimore, because the way Baltimore's playing right now, tell me it's not going to have to go through them, a team that already is beating them. So, I don't know. Something feels different about it.
Also, everyone, stay tuned. Beginning at 6:30 on 10:50 a.m. for the ChevyOffers.com New York Rangers pregame show, brought to you by your local Chevy dealers. Check out their award-winning lineup and find your closest dealer at ChevyOffers.com. That was much smoother than last week when I tried to do it. The Eagles were not good yesterday. Straight up embarrassed. Here's Dan Orlovsky on Get Up saying just how bad the Eagles were.
That was the most points the Dolphins have scored in 4 years. 4 years, but you want to go to the playoffs? You don't deserve to be in the playoffs, Philly. I've had your back all offseason. I've had your back all season. This is bigger than your quarterback. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. You lost to a 2-win team after you went up 14-0, led by Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker, because you couldn't make a play on a football. And we want to sit here and put you in the playoffs?
You okay with this, Andrew? That kind of attack?
Oh, what is he wrong about? He's right about every single word he said. I'm almost mad that game, as embarrassing as it was kind of meaningless. They still control their own destiny. If they win out, they still go to the playoffs. I almost wish that game punished them more. Like, I want that game to hurt them more.
Yeah, but
than
if they beat the Cowboys and they make the playoffs, you'll be all in. All in.
Of course, look, I'll get back on board because I'm a fan of the team.
More
but, like, but I mean, that was embarrassing.
He once said,
look, I'll get behind anything. I mean, should I not be angry today?
No, like, you should be.
Should I not be excited about them if they do find their way into the playoffs?
I'm angry. They cost me 1 point, and it's crushing, I believe.
I feel terrible for you.
It was really an awful.
Why do you continue to pick them?
Yesterday made sense. And, Andrew.
What was the number?
9.5. They were up. They started the game up 10-0.
14-0.
Was it 14-0?
And then 28-14.
No, it was 10-0.
It was 10-0. Then they went down 14-13, and then they went back up 28-14.
And then so they get to 28-14 in the third quarter.
So you're doing the math. You're okay. You're up by five. Four and a half.
28-14, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm thinking, let's get one
and
more.
And then add 10.
60.
Then divided by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No. I'm thinking add another touchdown. Get up 35-14. I'm chilling. And instead, Ryan Fitzpatrick became unstoppable, and there we are. Now, let's keep the conversation somewhat Philly related. The Jaguars benched Nick Foles in favor of Gardner Minshew II. Foles turned it over on 3 straight possessions against the Bucks. Bucks went up 25-0.
Just think of the money they wasted on Nick Foles. Because that might cost Coughlin his job, might cost Marone his job. I'm telling you.
Don, you and I think really drove home in particular that we could not picture Foles being good on another team.
Right. I thought it was a Philly thing.
It looked like it was a Philly thing. Like, he's just not special outside of Philly. And here's Tim Hasselbeck on the decision to move on from Foles.
Gardner Minshew, there's been times where it's looked good. The reality is he's not a long-term answer to be the franchise quarterback. He's just not physically. And so it's very hard to build around something like that. With Nick Foles, you can definitely say that he hasn't played as well as they wanted him to play. The reality is, though, is that he has proved that he has the physical tools and has played as well as you need to play to win a Super Bowl. There are very few people that are walking on the planet that have done that.
It's bad. Bad news for Nick Foles.
No, he's got a lot of money coming as well.
No, he'll be okay.
And he's won a Super Bowl. So. You know who I felt badly for yesterday?
Who's that?
Eli Manning sitting there with his hood over his head.
Getting
snowed on. His career dwindling down to its final days.
He was Edward Snowden.
They should never have benched him after two games. It's in retrospect, it's disgraceful what they did. They buried this team, and he did it just to give himself cover. Because if he does keep this job, it's because he could say, you know, you can't pull the plug on Daniel Jones.
That's true. Everything you're saying is true.
But he would have been benched by now.
It still ends up working out better for him long term because these are games he's getting to a chance to experience. So. Did it completely throw away this season? Could Eli maybe done a better job? They probably weren't going to go to the playoffs anyway. So you're going to go into 2020 with a quarterback entering his second year that's going to have, what, he's start, what, 14 games in the NFL? That's going to help him next year.
Let me throw this at you, though.
All right.
The winner of the East is probably going to be an 8-8 team. Could be 7-9. Eli Manning might have been able to squeeze out seven wins.
They would have
made interesting games in December.
I don't know because this has been such a defensive problem. It really has.
And I think you're forgetting how bad they also were with Eli.
How many games can you honestly say?
Eli would not have turned the ball over nearly as much.
But in your mind,
he wouldn't have thrown as many touchdowns either.
It was bad yesterday with the three interceptions, but they weren't going to win that game. But how many times did we say that was a winnable game, Jones blew it? I don't think many, if at all. I've looked at him and saying them when falling down, Rodgers is able to complete a 4th and 15. But I mean, come on, that's a defensive problem.
Can't you give me this though? He should not have been benched after two games.
Yeah, because I guess it comes across as disrespectful. But at the end of the day, Michael, if they go 3-13, 4-12, and Eli maybe could have gotten them to 6-10, 7-9. Yeah, that's a bad look, but it makes it that much better for Jones to have 14 games under his belt going into next year.
But the thing that bothers me is that whichever the reason was, Shurmur looks disingenuous.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's probably gone.
If he thought that Daniel Jones was going to spark the team, boy, he was dead wrong.
He was wrong.
He was wrong. Second of all, if he did it to protect his backside because he's the guy who's also wrong.
It's all wrong, Michael, but if they let Shurmur go and they bring in a new coach – and maybe brings in his own offensive coordinator and they fire the defensive coordinator, bring in their own guy or whatever. It still ends up being a positive because those are games that he never would have gotten. So he's almost got a full year under his belt to hit the ground running for 2020 that maybe he wouldn't have got. Because if Eli wins a few games, Michael, and they end up 7-9, and I'm not sure, but just for sake of argument, Peter, say they would have been 7-9, maybe Jones doesn't get on the field at all. And then you're starting from scratch next year with a new coach and a quarterback that only played a handful of plays.
But you want to hear good news about Daniel Jones recently?
Yeah.
Yesterday, no fumbles lost. First time in 6 weeks. You know how many fumbles lost Daniel Jones has this season?
It's got to be 10.
Oh, my God. You're the two greatest professionals in the industry today.
And also, though, he had not thrown an interception in 101 attempts, and then he threw three.
That's a good point.
And it was
I was trying to focus on
snow and inclement weather. I mean, listen,
he had 15 fumbles, by the way. He's lost 10, I think.
If you really want to sit here and say Jones is the problem, you have not been watching this team.
He's part of the problem.
He's part of the problem, but he's not the problem.
No, he's definitely not the problem.
I can live with my rookie quarterback being part of the problem. Can't live with an 18-year veteran being part of
but
the problem that doesn't have a future.
If you said you don't think that Shermer's going to be back. You think that will set back Jones and going to bring in a new offense?
It might set him back, but I can't keep bringing back a guy that just isn't getting the job done, Michael. So they bring in Mike McCarthy. You think, oh, well, it's a second guy. It's a better coach. You're always going to be better if you bring in somebody that's a better coach. That's always should be a thing.
So did you say better coach?
Sure.
Let's talk about Freddie Kitchens, shall we?
Why?
Freddie wore a shirt the other day that said Pittsburgh started it. He went to go see the Mr. Rogers vehicle, the Tom Hanks vehicle.
I saw that on Saturday.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
Not as great as I thought it was going to be. Well done, though. Well done.
But not great.
We weren't riveted.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Were you a fan?
Of Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I told Jody this, and she actually looked at me in the car and said, what planet are you from? I don't think I ever watched Mr. Rogers as a kid.
That's not having a childhood.
Well, hold on. Well, are you too old for it?
No. No. That's my wheelhouse.
No, it's my wheelhouse.
No, no.
He started in 69. And when? What year were you born?
61. Well, I would have been 8 years old. I never watched
an episode. No, that's not the wheelhouse. I'm sorry. I love when you're just wrong. That was wrong.
How am I wrong?
8 year olds didn't watch Mr. Rogers.
Yes, you're wrong.
No,
you're
it's
wrong.
For 2 year olds, 3 year olds, 4 year olds, 5 year olds.
No,
eight is on the way out.
You're a
clown. Eight is on the way out of Mr. If you get home and your 10 year old is like, no, Dad, I'm still watching.
But to not watch an episode is.
I don't think it's that weird. I'm defending you, Michael.
No,
he doesn't
want to
be defended.
Wow. It's, by the way, hold on. And it started. That was really
you're
mean.
An idiot.
But it was 69 it started. So it wasn't even like the cultural.
First episode was 1968.
Yeah. And
I was seven.
And when did it become part of the cultural zeitgeist?
Well, I don't know.
A few years probably. You were probably 12.
It says on Wikipedia that the series is aimed primarily at preschool ages 2 to 5.
And there's a thing about being right.
Yeah,
and about being the smartest person in the room.
Stand up.
Maryland, number 3 in the country in basketball right now, number 1 academically in this room.
Wow.
Every day.
You know what? Peter's right, Michael.
Go
I
ahead.
Wanted to have
I'll
your
wait
back,
for the apology.
You know what?
You're
I gotta
not
going to
get an apology.
I got to be on the side
even
of
see the
righteous.
Movie. You didn't even see the movie.
That's not the question.
I saw the movie.
I grew up on it. I know what it was aimed for. 5-year-olds, you shouldn't feel bad. Jody. Well, Jody's younger than you, though, so it wasn't her wheelhouse.
It also says that it was labeled by PBS as, quote, appropriate for all ages.
Because he's teaching you something. If you watch the movie, he's teaching everybody. He talked about death on that show.
It is a little odd that he never watched an episode.
Yeah, I mean, you
Channel
would think,
13 always came in very fuzzy on my rabbit ears.
What about
have cable back then. But, I know that's hard to understand.
Is it not on anywhere right now for the kids to see it?
I haven't seen anything.
Really? Did you watch The Doc?
No.
The Doc's amazing.
I don't like that you call it The Doc. Who do you think you are?
Did you watch the documentary about Mr. Rogers?
I did. I watched it on a plane, and it was amazing.
I don't know if they needed this movie. The documentary
but Tom
was
Hanks is so
is,
good.
The movie is more about the writer, Tom Junod, who wrote the story for Esquire that turned into the book. So it's about his family. It's not a Mr. Rogers doc. It's a story.
And it's about different people, not just Mr. Rogers.
Very moving.
So now it sounds like you love the movie.
No, I didn't love it.
Did you watch The Irishman over the weekend?
No, I don't have 3.5 hours to give.
Yeah, but I got a few long plane rides coming up, so I think I'm going to watch it.
Did anyone here watch it?
Yeah, Andrew saw it 4 times.
Andrew, you watch it?
The Irishman?
Yeah.
I did. I saw it the other night.
What'd you think?
Excellent. Loved it.
It's tremendous.
Have you seen the Seth Meyers stand-up?
No, you told me.
Phenomenal. How good it is.
And I'm not a huge Seth Meyers fan.
You'll love it. You'll be a
skit
fan.
We were sent today was very funny.
You'll love it.
All right, I'm going to watch that too. But I'm telling you right now, by the way, I've also heard The Morning Show on Apple Plus is pretty great.
Well, the star of the show is just extraordinary.
Jennifer.
Jen.
I just saw the video earlier today on the internet of Jennifer Aniston kissing Ellen DeGeneres. I'd never seen that.
I didn't see that either. You have to send that to me. Over the last 2+ seasons, Andrew writes, the Giants are 8-25 with Eli as their quarterback. So taking a shot at Eli. You have your own problems in Philly, okay, my friend?
So Freddie Kitchens.
You said, why wouldn't they go 7-9 with Eli? Well, what has happened over the last 2+ years that makes you think 7-9 with Eli is on the table?
Well, didn't they improve their offense? Didn't they get Golden Tate Warrior?
And they lost Odell Beckham.
Okay.
The best offensive player in their franchise history. I mean.
Oh, all right. But they had a pretty good receiving core. The Hog Mollies up front was supposed to be much better than the last couple of years when he had no time.
There was improved Hog Mollies. There were improved Hog Mollies. I know that.
I don't like everybody attacking me. This is the Christmas season. This is what happened to Rudolph. Why? I'm a little different, so I'm no good to you guys.
So Freddie Kitchens wears the shirt the other day. It said Pittsburgh started it.
Right, and they ended it, too.
He ended it yesterday with a 2013 loss. So naturally, Freddie was asked about the shirt after the game.
Listen, the T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us. At the -1 moving out. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I'd put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that, you know. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
Before Freddie talks again, you wear that T-shirt in public, take a picture with it, you better win.
You know, Michael, I appreciate that sentiment.
Excuse me?
I think it's a good point you're trying to make. And, I had a shirt when I was a boy. You know who Boss Hogg is?
Yeah, sure.
From the Dukes of Hazzard?
I know, yeah.
I had a Boss Hogg shirt on it with a stain on it. And I used to wear that shirt every single day. All right, I'm talking about every day. My mom used to say, Freddie, if you don't take off that Boss Hogg shirt, you ain't going to get your supper. So one day, after she said that, I felt bad. So I went up to my mama Kitchens, and I hugged her real tight. And I put my mouth right next to her ear. And I said, Mama, if you ever tell me not to wear my Boss Hogg shirt again, I'm okay. Needless to say, I continue to wear that shirt to this day. And that's the moral of the story. Because Freddie Kiki says so.
You know what's really frightening? Hmm. The real Freddie Kitchens now sounds like you.
He did today. Yesterday he did.
Listen, the T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a T-shirt.
Play shirt. I love Freddie. I feel bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great choice, though, I don't think. How'd they lose that game? You know the name of the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, Quack.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
No, it's Duck Rogers.
Whatever, Quack.
Is that his last name?
The reason his name is Duck is because he has a quack thing that he does when he comes into the locker room. He does a duck quack.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I didn't say this all day. Can you get the music in, RJ? Y'all want to start a man named Duck against Freddie Kiki? You know what I do when I see a duck? It's like Duck Hunt. I kill it. But then he didn't.
No.
Well, there's a lot more stories, but we're out of time. That'll do it for ENN. Maybe the last one on Yes. We're not sure.
No, there's a real good chance. Don't be not sure.
Oh, we're not coming back.
No. You're not coming back.
So it'll just be a blank chair? Will they play the audio at least?
The audio, yeah. You just won't be on TV anymore.
That's sad.
Yeah. You ever read any sponsor or anything? Your last sponsor?
No, I covered them all.
All right, 1-800-919-3776. We take it right up until the Knicks pregame. Knicks against the Bucks, and coming off a tough loss yesterday. And the Knicks, by the way, we'll get into it in a moment, but remember when they warned Fizdale after the first 10 games he was 2-8?
I do, and then...
So since that point, 10 games have gone by.
Okay.
2-8.
All right.
Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.